Morning, today's topic, Irvin Nun Beis. We're Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We are towards the bottom of the Amud, beginning with the words Amar of Ashi. And we are still continuing with the discussion that we had over the course of yesterday's daf regarding the Kinyan Makom Shvisa. We discussed a Mishnah back on Memtes Amud Beis. We're still in that Mishnah, and we're discussing the traveler. Traveler's coming, and he's on the way, and he would like to do is forward his Makom Shvisa to a landmark that he recognizes in the distance. Under those circumstances, the Mishnah says that, assuming that he knows exactly, he knows the landmark well, and he can specify exactly where the Makom Shvisa is going to be, localize it to a particular Dala Amos under the tree, so then that would acquire him a Makom Shvisa. What we saw yesterday, I'm sorry, before we get there, at the end of the Mishnah, Mem Tesamud Beis, Machlok Chin Rav Meir Rav Yehuda, V'zuhi Shamru. The end of the Mishnah says that in this particular scenario, Ha'ani Ma'ariv Biraglav, a poor person can make an Eruv with his legs. Now, on that line of the Mishnah then, the Mishnah follows up with the Machlok Chin Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir says, only the Ani, Rav Yehuda says, both the Ani and both the Ashir. As far as making an Eruv with food is concerned, says Rav Yehuda, that was just simply a dispensation given to wealthy people, a convenience. So that a wealthy person wouldn't have to go and make an Eruv with his legs. He can make it with food. What we saw yesterday is a Machlokis Amoraim. And that is a Machlokis between Rav Nachman, which we saw on the Amud Aleph of yesterday's Daf, on the very bottom, and Rav Chista on the Amud Beis. The Machlokis between Rav Nachman and Rav Chista is basically how to frame the Machlokis Tatanayim between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Now, according to Rav Nachman, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are really having a fundamental Machlokis in terms of what is the primary way to make an Eruv Tchum. According to Rav Meir, the primary way to do so is with bread. And so when a person says that I'd like to make an Eruv in this location, meaning in the case of Mikomi, my location, I would like to make an Eruv, so Rav Meir says that primarily it should be done with bread, and as far as as far as who should be doing it in that manner, so it doesn't matter whether you are an Ani or whether you're Asher, principally it should be done with bread. And that is Shitas Rabbi Meir. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda says no, that the principal way of making an Eruv is Beregel, is with your feet. And that would be true for an Ani and for an Asher. Okay. And as far as forwarding your Eruv, so, in other words, instead of making the Eruv Mikomi, the place that I'm currently situating, but rather to forward it ahead, so according to everybody, that's only for the Ani, not for the Asher. As we'll be discussing a little bit later on this morning, in terms of the person who would like to forward his Eruv, meaning he's traveling, so by virtue of the fact that he's traveling, that in of itself makes him an Ani. Well, that's something that we'll get to a little bit later on. Okay, Rav Chista, meanwhile, had a different understanding of the Machlokes HaTanayim between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. They both fundamentally agree that the Iker Eruv is to be done Berego. And then it's just a question of whether or not you can also use bread. But anyway, that was Rav Nachman's understanding of the Machlok between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And now the Gemara quoted a Braisa yesterday that was clearly supportive of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's viewpoint is the one supported by the Braisa. And in that vein, we continue now in the Gemara where we left off yesterday. Amar Rav Ashi. Masis Namideka. And Rav Ashi says, look, if you read the Mishnah really carefully, you're going to see the same pshat in the Mishnah. Because this Mishnah we're going to be seeing later this morning. So this is a good preview for today's daf, as we are going to be seeing this Mishnah inside just today. But anyway, meanwhile, we're quoting the Mishnah now, as the Mishnah over here is going to be informative as to whether or not we accept Rav Nachman or Rav Chista's view of the Machlokes Rav Meir Rav Yehuda. So, Mishich Shechlelech Le'Yushim Arvin La. So a person is on his way to a city, Ve'echziru Chavera. And as he was about to leave, his friend says, no, do me a favor, come back. So, Humot Olelech L'chol B'nei Yir Asur and Divrei Rav Yehuda. So he can go, and the rest of the city cannot go. And the Gemara says, what does that mean? It's very difficult to understand. So, what's the difference between him who was set out to go on the way, and he was going to go on the way using an Eruv, which we're going to clarify in just a moment, and everybody else? And the Gemara says the difference is like this.
So the Amr Rav Huna Hachiba Ma'iskina Kigosh Yesh Lo Shnei Batim Ushnei Tchumei Shabbos Beinehem.
So Rav Huna says, look, the scenario over here is as follows. He's got two homes. One house in this city, another house in another city. The only way to be able to traverse on Shabbos is only via Erev Tchum. The distance between the two houses is just under 4,000 amas. And the only way that he can make it is by making a Tchum, an Erev Tchum between them. So, Iu came to Nafkale L'Orcha, Havale Ani. So, the reason why he is allowed to go there on Shabbos is because he started heading there. Since he started heading there, so he now is has the status of an ani, meaning he's a traveler. And for the purposes of our discussion, we're going to make an equivalency between a traveler and an ani. So he now is an ani. Vahana chashirim ninu. Now everyone else in the town who had no interest in going and didn't make any kind of movement that they were headed towards the other city, so they don't have the status of, of an ani, they have the status of an asher. So what do we see over here? Ama kol b'makom ploni, ani in asher lo. So what we see over here is that now where is he trying to establish his Erev? Now where he currently is, the Erev right now is situated between his two houses. At the 2,000 mark between where he currently is and where his Erev Tchum normally is in order to get to his other house, which is an additional 2,000 amas away. Now, and here's what we're saying. The difference between him and everyone else in the town is that because he started his journey, so now he has the status of an ani, affording him the opportunity to forward his Eruv ahead. In other words, that's Eruv b'makom ploni. And the difference now between him and everybody else is that the reason why he can do it is because he's an ani, and everyone else cannot do it because they're an usher. What comes out over here now is that we see clearly a distinction between an ani and usher when you're forwarding your Eruv, meaning in the case of a traveler. So what do we see over here? That if it was mikomi, if all he was doing is trying to make an error from underneath where he is, so then there is not going to be a distinction between an ani and an usher. This is exactly the way that Rav Nachman presented the Machlokshin in Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Meaning the Machlokshin in Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is under the circumstance where you're saying mikomi, my place. Right? Rav Meir says it's done with bread. And Rav Yehuda says it's done b'regel, and and when you are making it makom ploni, when you're making it in a when you're forwarding there to another place, so according to everybody, both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, it only works for the ani, not for the asher. So we get to see this in played out in the upcoming Mishnah. So the Gemara says the upcoming Mishnah is in fact going to be supportive of Rav Nachman's understanding of the machlokas from Meir of Yehuda. The Gemara finishes up our discussion over here on the bottom of the Aleph Amud Beis. Masnale Rav Chia bar Ashle Chia bar Rav Kamei de Rav. The following Mishnah was said over by Rav Chia bar Ashi to Chia bar Rav in front of Rav, and that is Echad Ani v'Echad Ashir. That it's true for both an Ani and for an Ashir, meaning that if it's Mikomi, you can make an Erev Amale Rav. Siyim Beit Nami Halachik Rav Yehuda. And he says, good, you're saying over the Mishnah very well, but I want you to conclude the Mishnah by saying that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. Rava bar Chanan have a ragel da'asi me artivna lipumbedisa. The Gemara says that Rava bar Chanan, his travels normally took him from artivna to pumbedisa. If you take a look at the bottom Rashi over here, I'm sorry, parenthetically, by the way, as it'll become evident also at the end of the sugya as well, meaning we pass on like Rav Yehuda and we pass on like Rav Nachman's understanding of Rav Yehuda, meaning that under the circumstance where he says mikomi, that it is that he's making an Erev underneath where he currently is, so that is can be done by rego, and as far as being done with bread, yeah, in other words, as a convenience for the usher, could be done for bread. Okay, so sorry. Anyway, continuing now with the story. So Rava bar Chana was normally going from Artivna to Pumbedisa. Look at the bottom Rashi over here. Ragel da Asi lechol Shabbos Artivna le Pumbedisa vayayoshev erev Shabbos bebeiso vaomer shvisasi bitzinsa makom mesuma haya bein shnei atchumim. So again, in order to get from point A to point B, so it required an erev tchum, and the erev tchum was found in this place called Tzinsa. I mean, we're going to see that in the Gemara, and so he forwarded his Erev to that particular location.
Now, as we already got done discussing, so you could do that, but only under the circumstances where you're actually traveling. So you have to be a traveler. So the Gemara says on Tzav Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Amar, so he says to Hey Shvisa Sibit Sinsa. So Amar Abai Maitetech Rameh Rav Yehuda Lachik Rav Yehuda. So Abai says to him, okay, very good. So I see your thought process. So we had a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and you're forwarding your tchum, your heir of tchum, and you're doing so obviously without bread, and you're relying on the position of Rav Yehuda. The Amar of Chisa machlokas b'makom ploni. But meanwhile, remember yesterday's daf, the machlokas. This is the way Rav Chisa understood it, that the entire debate over here is makom ploni. V'ha Rav Nachman v'tanya kavasei. The Gemara says okay. But at the same time, however, that was Rav Chisa's understanding. Meanwhile, Rav Nachman. And not only that, but the Braisa supported Rav Nachman. So Amrle Hadrabi. So he says, okay, I'm Choser. So Amr Rami Barchama Hari Amru Shabbos Yeshlo Dala Amos. I know it's an S. Eruva Yeshlo Dala Amos Olo. Okay. And the Gemara finishes up all this discussion with the following. And that is a statement by Rami Barchama. When they say regarding Shabbos, you're afforded Dala Amos. Hanosein Es Eruvo. So when you are making your Erev Tchum, and so that it gives you an extension creating for you a new Makom Shvisa, are you also going to be receiving, in addition to the extension of the 2,000 Amos, are you also going to be receiving Dal Amos as well? Meaning the area in which you put down your Makom Shvisa, is that for you going to be given a Dal Amos? So Amar Rav Tashma Lo Amru Ma'arvin Bepasel Al Hakel Al Ha Ashir Shelo Yatsav Yarev Biraglav. So the Gemara says, look, I think it's very clear, because what do we say regarding Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that we saw in the Mishnah? And that the Iker Erev is to be done with your feet, and if you make it with bread, so it's just a convenience for the wealthy person, so that he doesn't have to walk there in Erev Shabbos, he can conveniently send bread to that location, not necessarily bread, but whatever, food to that location, in order for him to make an Erev Tchum. Now the Gemara says, now it's a convenience for the wealthy person. So the Gemara says, now let's think about this for a moment. If let's say when you lay down bread, or any food for that matter, so you're not going to be given Dal Amos. So the truth of the matter is, as much as you're getting an extension of 2,000 Amos in a certain direction, but at the same time, however, prior to you making an Erev, you had Dal Amos, in the very least you had Dal Amos, and now when you make your Erev Tchum with bread, and you're not given Dal Amos, so that's going to be convenience? I mean, the answer is ultimately going to be yes. And by the way, the Gemara is going to say that in just a moment. But if you're losing Dal Amos, I mean, so that's a little bit of a loss. Now, obviously, we're not talking about a significant loss over here. We're only talking about the loss of 4 Amos. But still, that's a loss. And so the Gemara is assuming now that you have to say that you're given 4 Amos. Otherwise, you're losing. So the Gemara's answer, which is pretty straightforward, is that Afilo Hachi, nitrach so the Gemara says, yeah, but still, nichale, it's still more convenient to him. Because at this point in time, he doesn't have to schlep out there on Erev Shabbos in order to put down either to make Erev Tchum Beregel, or to have himself put his own food down. In other words, he could send it with somebody else. Sending it with somebody else is a tremendous convenience. Okay, so he loses 4 Amos. Okay, it's not the biggest loss in the world. Meaning we could look at the sum total of his gain, and that is that he got an additional 2,000 Amos in a particular direction, and that is fine. That's enough of a convenience where we can overlook the fact that he may lose 4 Amos. Okay, so the Gemara is not clear that when a person makes an Erev Tchum with bread or with food, is he in fact going to be gaining in that area 4 Amos? In other words, we know that for sure, if you yourself find yourself in a particular area, so automatically you're given 4 Amos and then 2,000 Amos after that. But if what you're doing is you're transferring your Makom Shvisa with bread, so the Gemara now is entertaining and not being so conclusive about the fact that maybe you don't get Dal Amos, maybe you just simply get the extension, but you don't get the Dal Amos. Okay, Adkan. It takes us to the end of our first circuit today, and now we get to do Chazara, right in the middle of the daf. We get to review the mission that we just saw. Mishi yetzei lelech be'ir, shema'ar v'mba, ve'echziro, chaveiro. So hum otolalech v'chol b'ne'ir asur in divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so in the Mishnah, so let's just illustrate the case again. The story is that he has another house. I mean, we know this detail because the Gemara gave us this detail, and we're going to get to review this point again in the Gemara, but I'm just painting a picture. So he has another house in another town, and that other town is 4,000 amas away.
in order for him to traverse from point A to point B on Shabbos. So by definition, he's going to have to do so by having an Erev Tchum. So how does he have an Erev Tchum? So there's a specific landmark that he knows that exists between the two. And now what he's doing is he's forwarding his Erev Tchum to that location. It's within 2,000 Amos, and he's forwarding it because he's traveling. Now, again, we're going to make this point really clear. This only works because he is actually traveling. So we're going to, and that's a point we're going to be sitting on for a good amount of time this morning in the daf. But once he now has the status of a traveler, i.e. he's an ani, so he can forward his chum to that location. That now becomes his point of center, and then that allows him to go the additional 2,000 amos in order to get to his other house. That is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. And the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda, now we get to go over the Mishnah again, is that even though, as he was walking that direction on Erev Shabbos, someone stops him, and someone says to him, "Nah, don't go." And maybe provides for him a good reason, with something we're going to explore a little bit later on, but whatever. He tells him, don't go. So the significant point over here is that he started his journey, and that seems to be the pshat. But right now I'll say it simply. He started his journey on Erev Shabbos. By virtue of him starting his journey on Erev Shabbos, that now switches over his status to a traveler / ani, and therefore that affords him the opportunity to move his Erev forward to that Makom Mesuyim, to that specific area that's up ahead. That is all Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rameir Omer Koshu Yachol La'arev V'lo Erev Harizech HaMargamal. Rameir says that if he has the potential, the possibility of making an Erev, but he didn't make an Erev, so HaMargamal now, I think it's the third time we saw the expression in Mishnayos. Sorry for, right? I don't remember exactly, but whatever the case is, he's stuck. He's stuck between the two Erevin. Shitas Rav Meir, we're going to understand a little bit better later on in the course of the Gemara's discussion on the Amud Beis. So let's wait for a moment to discuss Rav Meir in more detail. Meanwhile, however, let's discuss Rav Yehuda. And in discussing Rav Yehuda, what we get to do is, again, chazer the point that we made earlier this morning. So Maishna Inu, I don't understand. He can walk to his home that's in the other town, that's just under 4,000 Amos away. Every other member of the city cannot do so, meaning that's exactly what Rav Yehuda said in the Mishnah. Hu mutar leilech v'chol b'nei ir asurim. He can go, the rest of the members of the city cannot go. What is happening over there? So Amar Rav Huna, hachav ha-maiskinim kigon sheyesh lo shnei batim v'bneihem. Shnei tchumim Shabbos yihu kemen denafak leil orcha. Havale ani ve'ani ashirei ninu. And so Rav Huna gives the explanation that we already heard once earlier, but now we get to review it. Because he started going, so now he has the status of a traveler. A traveler is tantamount to an ani, and so therefore now he has the ability to forward his eruv to that makom mesuyim. On the other hand, all the other members of the city who did not make any start to travel, they didn't start the journey, so therefore they have the status of the usher, and the usher cannot forward his eruv to a location up ahead. Only the traveler can do so. And again, just as a reminder, as we saw in the beginning, this is subject to a machlok shin Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, but the way Rav Nachman understands it, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda were talking about they were debating only mikomi, when I'm making the Erev under me, but if I'm forwarding the Erev up ahead, so both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda would agree that only the Ani can do that, not the Asher. That is Rav Nachman's understanding of the machlokis, and everything we're saying right now is going to be in line with Rav Nachman's understanding of the machlokas. Tanya Namiach, the Gemara quotes a brisa supporting this as well. Mishiyesh lo shnei batim, uvenem shnei tchumei Shabbos. The brisa over here is going to be just like the way we said it. So a person has two houses, and between them are two tchum Shabboses, meaning that the two houses are separated by just under 4,000 in Amos. Kevin shehichzik b'derek kana erev div Rav Yehuda. So as long as you start your journey on erev Shabbos, you are now considered a traveler, and now you're considered an ani, and now you could forward your Erev. Yes, okay, Nam Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Now here in the Braisa, we're going to be introduced to another opinion. Meaning in the Mishnah, we had Shitas Rav Yehuda, which we just went over in the Braisa. We also had Shitas Rav Meir, which obviously presents a Chomra, and that is your stuff, for reasons which we're going to articulate later on. And now in this Braisa, we're given a third Shita, and that is the Shita of Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says, yes, okay. Now, already you can hear in Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda says, I'll tell you something even bigger. Now, bigger over here usually means a bigger chiddush, meaning a bigger kula. Okay, and that seemingly is what Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda is going to allude to. Afilu matzah chaver v'amar lo ein li
I'm sorry. V'amar lo lin po eitz chamahu eitz sinahu l'machir mashkim v'holich. Let's say his friend says to him, "You know what? I see you're ready to go, but why don't you stay here? It's really hot, or it's really cold, and you know what? Tomorrow you wake up early and you start your travels tomorrow morning. Wonderful." So this is the sheet of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. Now, when we first hear it, it sounds awfully similar to Rav Yehuda. Meaning, isn't that exactly what Rav Yehuda said? Rav Yehuda said that you started traveling on Erev Shabbos, and for whatever reason, you got cut short. Meaning, you look back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, basically, according to Rav Yehuda, presents the same exact scenario. The Mishnah says, v'hechziru chavero, right? Somebody pulls you back. But as long as you started your travel, so now you are a traveler, slash ani, and so now you could follow your Erev up ahead. Now, in the Braisa, so we get to hear Shitas Rav Yehuda again, as explained by Rav Huna, meaning that Rav Huna explanation that we just saw in the Gemara was articulated clearly in the Braisa. Good. But then the Braisa brings in another Shita of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and he says, I'll tell you what, I'll do you one better. Even if somebody stops him, as long as he started his travels, so then tomorrow morning he can wake up and he can go. Meaning he has successfully forwarded his Eruv to that Makom Mesuyam. That sounds like almost identical to that of Rav Yehuda. So there clearly is a difference between Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda. It just happens to be that when you read the Braisa, it's hard to articulate what that difference is. Amar Rabba. So here we are now in the Gemara. Two Amarim now are going to be trying to express exactly how Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda is even being more makel than that of Shitas Rav Yehuda. Now, Amar Rabba, Lomar, to articulate Kulei Amar Lo Pligi, the Tzarech. That's a necessity. Ki pligi lahachzik. So the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, is you have to actually start on the way. And Rabbi Yosef Amar lahachzik to kulei amar lo pligi detzarech. If you are starting on your way, everyone agrees that's a requirement. And ki pligi lomar, but rather what they're debating is articulation. What is the Gemara saying over here? What are the positions of Rabbo and Rabbi Yosef? So over here, an extraordinarily lengthy Rashi over here, trying to express exactly what are the shitas of Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Rashi over here, I'm going to give us a fast pass through this Rashi. Rashi over here offers two pshat, the first pshat that he received from his Rebbeim, but he is not particularly fond of. And he goes through exactly what the reasons is that he's not fond of. Okay, and I'm going to, for purposes of just brevity and simplicity, I'm going to bypass the first pshat of Rashi, and I'm going to move over to the second pshat of Rashi. Interesting, by the way, Rashi says that he did not receive this pshat as a masara. In other words, he is himself providing this pshat, but he says it sounds a lot better. And the Balei HaTosfos, as you can see in the right here on the Amud, they do favor this second pshat that Rashi offers. And here, I'd love to read it, but I'm not gonna. I'm just gonna summarize the second pshat that's offered within Rashi, and that is as follows. First, let's start with Rabba. Rabba says that according to Rav Yehuda, in order to get the status of a traveler, in order to be able to forward your Erev, to that Makom Mesuyam that exists between the two houses, so you need two things. You need, number one, to start your journey. That is what's called being machzik, right? Machzik l'derech. And number two, also, you have to make an articulation, and you have to say, Tehei makom shvisasi be'makom ploni. You have to actually state and articulate that you want to forward your Erev to that Makom ploni. Even though, by the way, you've been doing this maneuver already numerous times. It's kind of self-evident that you want that to be your Erev in order to get from one house to the next. Remember, the way we set up the case, you had one house and the other house was just under 4,000 amos, and the Makom Mesuyam is always turning into your Erev Tchum, your point of center. But still, the way Rabbah understands it, Rabbi Yehuda says you need both. To start your journey, that's being machzik, and also to say, Tehei makom shvisasi b'makom ploni. Good. And where Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda now is saying, I'm going to be more meiko, is that all you need is articulation. That's all you need. You don't need to start your journey. As long as you say, that's going to be my makom shvisa, so that would be sufficient. This is Rabba's characterization of the machlokus between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yosef, it's going to start off the same. Rav Yosef says that according to Rav Yehuda, you need two things. You need to start your journey and you need to say, Tehei makom shvisasi b'makom ploni. Now, according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, what is he foregoing? The articulation.
Meaning as long as you started your journey, that's sufficient. That is already enough to move your makom shvisa to where you from where you currently are to where you're currently going to be. That is Rashi's preferred explanation of the Gemara over here. Machlokas Rabbi and Rav Yosef. How to understand the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. And let's just pick it up in the Gemara now. Five lines from the bottom. Kiman. Azla Adamar Ulami Shechzik Bedar Vehechzik Vehechziru Chavero. Harehu Mochzar Mochzak. The statement of Ula. Ula says that you started on your journey. Your friend stopped you. So you are Mochzar. You returned. Umuchzak, but at the same time you started your journey. And boy, is that confusing. So imuchzar lama muchzak, imuchzak lama muchzar. Well, which one are you? Have you been returned? Or right, has your trip been canceled? Or do we say that you started your journey? And hachi kamar, and we need clarification. And we're not clarifying it. It's interesting. We're not clarifying over here a braisa. We're clarifying a statement by Ula. Okay, but still, it needs clarification. So afa pisha muchzar muchzak. So what Ula meant is as follows. Even though you were turned around, somebody spun you around, stopped you from going, but because you started your journey, so muhzak, it's as if you're now considered status-wise, as if you started your journey, and so therefore that makom shvisa that was lying ahead now is going to actually be your makom shvisa. So kaman k'Rav Yosef aliba de Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So over here, what are we adopting? We're adopting the shita of Rav Yosef according to and the way he understood the machlokas Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and specifically the shita of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. To review again, I'm working with Rashi's second and preferred pshat according to Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, as understood by Rav Yosef. What do you need? Just simply to start on your way. You don't need articulation. You don't need to say tei makom shvi shvi sasi be makom poni. As long as you start on your way, that's enough for you to now forward your makom shvisa to that makom mesuya, the mesuyim that lies ahead. Rav Yehuda by ishtata aisilei kakala deper l'Rav Nasan bar Oshia. Rav Yehuda by ishtata, Rashi says that's his name. So he would bring baskets of fruit over to Rav Nasan bar Oshia ki hava azil, so shavke. Now he was going home. And again, we have to, in the context of our Gemara over here, what's clear is that to go home was some journey, and he was walking, and he was going to end up walking on Shabbos. But he started his journey before Shabbos, and in order to facilitate that travel, it would demand an Erev Trum at a midpoint between where he currently is and in order to get to his home. Now, in order to be given that ability to forward his Erev ahead, so again, what does he need to do? So according to Rebbe Huda, he needs to start his travels, and he also needs articulation. And that's both according to Rav Yosef and according to Rabba. According to Rav Yosef, Rebbe Huda, he only needs one of the two. Which one does he need? So it depends who you're asking. If you're asking Rabba, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda needs articulation. If you're asking Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda needs the beginning of a travel. So anyway, so Azil, so he was about to go, Shavke Adanach is Darga. And so now, Rav Nasan bar Oshia waited until he started going down the steps, meaning he must have been in the second floor, and to get from the first floor to the second floor, they had some sort of ladder that got him there. Anyway, he started going down the ladder. By starting to go down the ladder, so what did that do? That now got him the status of being machzik bederech. He started his travel. So Amalei b'isacha, and he says to him, why don't you stay here? In other words, good. I'm glad you started your journey. Perfect. Now stay here. Lamacher kadim ba'alzo. And the next day, he actually went and he went all the way home. And again, in order to do that, so it demanded that he use his makom shvisa that he forwarded ahead. Okay, now, all this because he started his journey. Kiman, as the Gemara now was returned to the top of Nun Beis Amud Beis. So Kiman ka Rav Yosef, aliba de Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. So presumably it's going like Rav Yosef and within the sheet of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. And that means to say that all you need is machzik b'derech, all you need to start your travel, and that is going to be sufficient in order to forward your Erev to an upcoming location. And so good, so that's what it seems to be. So the Gemara says, not necessarily low. K'rabba v'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. It's going like Rabbi according to Rabbi Yehuda. And what we're going to have to add now, Rabbi according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that there was articulation. Now, we don't see that in the story, and that makes that part of the story a little bit challenging. But if the Gemara is now suggesting that we're holding like Rabbah and specifically like Rav Yehuda, so there has to not only have been
a start to go home. In other words, and he did, meaning he started going down the ladder. But on top of that, there was also articulation, even though that detail wasn't given to us within the story. Why is the Gemara doing this? Why is the Gemara assuming that we'd prefer to say that he's holding like Rabbah and not like Rav Yosef? So Rashi over here writes, because typically when there's a machlok between Rabbah and Rav Yosef, so the halach is like Rabbah. So over here, the Gemara says, even though there's a detail missing from the story, but I'd like to assume that the detail existed, i.e., he did articulate the Tehei Makom Shvisa Tziba Makom Ploni. It just happens to be that the story didn't, the narration didn't give us that detail. But better to say that, and to say that the halacha is falling like Rabbah, because generally speaking, the halacha falls like Rabbah. Ramera Merkoshi Yachol Arev. Okay. So we have spent now a good amount of time within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, and that when you're machzik bederech, when you're heading out on the way, so you could forward your Erev up ahead, and then, subsequently, what we've been discussing up until now is the brisa that we saw in the Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda is being more makel. Exactly what does that mean? So we just got done discussing within the brisa. Okay, now, with that stated, we get to look back now at Shitas Rav Meir. Now, again, as a reminder, going all the way back to the beginning of Shir today, Rav Nachman says that when the person's forwarding his Erev up ahead, and he has the status of a traveler, so everyone's in agreement, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, that you could forward your Erev up ahead, you have the status of being an Ani, and you could say Makom Ploni, that you are moving your Erev to a upcoming location. As long as you're a traveler/Ani, you could do so. And that is according to both Rabbi Meir and according to Rabbi Yehuda. So now, what's a little bit confusing, what we're discussing right now is, what did Rabbi Meir say in our Mishnah, on Nun Beis? So Rabbi Meir says that you're stuck. What does that mean you're stuck? Why are you stuck? So the Gemara discusses this very briefly. So Rabbi Meir Amar Koshi Achol Arev Ha Tanina Chadazimna. So the Gemara says, now, even before really explaining Rabbi Meir, so what the Gemara says is, I knew that already. So the Gemara just is assuming that we understand the Shita Rav Meir, which, okay, we are going to momentarily, but the Gemara is already at the point of Rav Meir being redundant. What's the redundancy of Rav Meir? Because consider what we learned earlier in the Masechta, taking us all the way back to Lamed Hay. So Safik, in the case of an Erev, which is a Safik, meaning I set my Erev up before Shabbos, two meals worth of food in a location. I got there right after Shabbos began, and I saw that my food's not there. Somebody ate it, an animal ate it, whatever the case is. I know it was there before Bein HaShemashos. It was no longer there after Bein HaShemashos. I don't know the status of the Erev during the Bein HaShemashos interim. So what we are looking at is the case of a Suffolk. We discussed it back on Lamed Hay a little bit in the Gemara. And Rav Meir says that in the case of Suffolk, so what was the halacha? So we don't know. And then Chamar Gamal, you're stuck. Maybe the Erev was good, maybe the Erev was no good. And so basically now what you're doing now is you're going to be trapped between where you currently are and where your Erev is. And you have to assume that either one of them, meaning both of them now, is going to be your Makom Shvisa, and you're going to be tethered to both locations. And the extremity of where you could walk on Shabbos will be assuming a worst-case scenario based on you being tethered to both Makom Shvisas. That was Rav Meir back on Lamed Hay. So the Gemara says that we see that when it comes to Rav Meir and Safek, the halach is Chamar Gamal. So the Gemara says, basically over here, isn't it basically the same thing? Meaning the person forwarded his Erev, and he started walking in that direction. Now, if he actually continued walking, so then we know that a person can forward his Erev to a certain location. But he didn't continue walking, he was spun around. A friend turned him around, a friend said, you know what, don't go, you'll stay with me. And so now when he was turned around, does that mean that the trip is canceled or does that mean that the trip is postponed? It's imperfect. So Rav Meir says, I don't know. And now this is a case of Safek. And so since it's a case of Safek, so Rav Meir is saying, Chamar Gamal, we knew that already. And it's obvious. Now, I'm going to add over here, if in fact it was so obvious, so then why in the very same mission as Rav Yehuda saying it's a good Erev? Meaning Rav Yehuda clearly didn't view this as a suffix at all. And basically what I'm alluding to now is going to be the Gemara's answer. Meaning clearly this case over here is not the same as the case back on Daf Lamed Hay. In the case of Daf Lamed Hay, it's a bona fide suffix. Meaning on Lamed Hay, the Erev was put up before Bein HaShemashos. It wasn't there after Bein HaShemashos. nobody observed what happened during Bein Hashmashos, so that is a bona fide suffix. Over here, it's not exactly a suffix. That's why it's a chiddush. Okay, so I'm just foreshadowing the upcoming answer. So, but anyway, let's read this all this inside the Gemara. Hatinin nechad zimna. We learned this already. Suffik Rav Meir Rav Yehuda Omer Mariza Chamer Gamal Amar Rav Sheshes Lo Tema. Time of the Rav Meir Suffik Eir Suffik Lo Eir Rav Yehuda Havi Chamer Gamal Ava Vaday Lo Eir Rav Lo Havi Chamer Gamal Ela Afilu Vaday Lo Eir Rav Havi Chamer Gamal. So the Gemara says, okay, the difference is as follows. In the case early on Daf Lamed Hey, so that it was a suffik as we just articulated. Over here, so did he put up an Eir Rav? And the answer is no, he didn't put up an Eruv. In other words, Vade lo Eruv, we know one thing for sure. There was no food that went into that location. In other words, the mechanism he was using in order to establish an Eruv up ahead was this idea of Teheshi Sasi ben Makom Ploni, by moving, by fast-forwarding his Eruv in a certain location, and doing that by obtaining the status of being a traveler. Meaning, you can only do that when you have the status of being a traveler. But over here, it's more than just a suffix, because over here you didn't set up an Erev altogether. So, daha hacha vade lo Erev. Over here, no Erev was made. And over here, in this circumstance, you're still considered chamar gamal according to Rebbe Meir. And so, what's at the core of Rebbe Meir over here? So you take a look at the Rashi. Elo afilo vade lo Erev. Shelo amar shvisa si lesham. So here he didn't make articulation, meaning he didn't say anything. And nami mechaskin alei b'safek mishum giloi daite. But as Rashi points out over here, what we're basically trying to do is decipher his movements, meaning he started traveling. Okay, good. So now he's a traveler. And now it affords him the opportunity to fast forward his makom shvisa to an upcoming location. On the other hand, he was spun around. Since he was spun around, so now, again, does that cancel his travel, and so therefore he's no longer a traveler? Or does that just simply postpone his travel? So Rav Meir says, in this circumstance, this is also going to be a case of suffix, in which now, once again, he's going to be tethered now to his current location, and he's going to be tethered to the upcoming location, because he simply does not know which, in fact, is going to be his makom shvisa. And what you'll have to say is that according to Rav Yehuda looks at it simply as a postponement of his travel, not a cancellation of his travel. We start with the upcoming Mishnah on Nbezim and Bez, Misha Yatzah Chutzutchum, Afilo Ama'achas Lo Yikanes. One of the last Mishnahs over here in our Perek discusses what happens when you walk outside of Tchum, even one Amah. So you can't go back in. This sheet of the Tanakam is an interesting sheet because, as we already saw, a person who was extracted outside of Tchum, it would go back all the way to the beginning of the Perek, taking us back 10 blot ago. So when a person is extracted out of Tchum, so we learn back in Memal from Mevei, so he's afforded 4 Amos. And we also had a discussion within this Perek how to gauge his 4 Amos. Either he's at the center of those 4 Amos, the Chitas Rebbe Lazar, which we're going to see in just a moment here in our Mishnah, or he's given 4 Amos and where he can choose where he currently is right now, which 4 Amos he wants to go, north, south, east, west. But once making that choice, so then he's going to be limited to those 4 Amos. And there's a third possibility, which is that he has a total of 8 Amos. So our Mishnah's first position over here, the Tanakama's position, is an interesting position because it says that once you exit one Amah past Chum, so that's it. Now, if you go back to any of the positions that we just went through, that we just articulated, in which you're given 4 Amos or 8 Amos, so that allows you to go back into Chum. Once you're reintroduced into your Chum, so presumably you get to reestablish your old chum. Okay, so we don't have perfect clarity on the first opinion here in the Mishnah, but anyway, so Mishi Yatzah Chutzat Chum Afilu Ama'achas Lo Yikanes. That's the Tanakama. Rebbe Lazar Omer Shtaim Yikanes Shalosh Lo Yikanes. Shitas Rebbe Lazar says it depends how far out of chum you are. If you're 2 Amos out of chum, or let's say just under 2 Amos out of chum, so that's fine. Because again, once you're at a tchum, you're given 4 amos. According to Rav Elazar, you're at the center of those 4 amos, and that would be perfect. Because under those circumstances, you just simply walk back to your old tchum, reestablishing your old tchum. If you're 3 amos away, now you're just simply too far outside of your old tchum, and you can't go back in. You can't reestablish your old tchum. Good. Am Rabbi Chanina raglo achas betoch tchum, raglo achas chutz tchum, lo yikanes. Rabbi Chanina says one leg in tchum, one leg out of tchum, you can't go back in. Now, obviously, this position over here is more extreme than anything we saw in the Mishnah. And how does he know that? So it's a drasha. So I mentioned this a couple of times, right? It's a rarity in which you're going to get a drasha from an Amora. Meaning we're going to see the drushas coming from Tanayim. We don't normally see a drushas coming from Amorayim. So it's certainly interesting that we have an opinion of an Amora over here, which seemingly doesn't conform to anything in the Mishnah. And on top of that, also he's providing a drasha. Okay, it's unusual. But it's happening right here. And the pasuk that he quotes. So we just saw this pasuk in the Haftarah of Yom Kippur. But anyway, the Mishiyatzach. I'm sorry. Let's start again from the Gemara. Am Rabbi Chanin Raglo Achas Betoch Tchum Raglo Achas Chutz Tchum Lo Yikanes Tichziv Im Tashiv Mishabas Raglecha. So the pasuk says that if you on Shabbos don't go out of Tchum and you keep your, now the word is Raglecha. Now, if I translate the way I pronounced it, that's 2 feet, but raglach ksiv. But the ksiv over here is without a yud, and so therefore even 1 foot. So v'atanya raglo achas, b'soch etchum raglo achas chutz etchum yikanes. So the Gemara says, but wait 1 second. I have another braisa that says that 1 foot out, 1 foot in, you can go back into your tchum. So the Gemara says, hamani achem hi detanya achem omrim, lamakum she rubohu nizdaker. Meaning, when we say that one leg is out of tchum, what we're assuming over here is it's just one leg. The rest of your body is within tchum, and so therefore that one leg is going to follow the rest of your body. Igadami, now in another version, Amar Rabbi Chanin, raglo achas besoch tchum, raglo achas chutz tchum yikanes. Now here in the second version, so Rabbi Chanin's quote is saying that with one leg out, one leg in, you can go back in. Right? Unlike the first version, where in the first version you're stuck. Now in the second version, you can go back in, dechzivim tashima shabbas raglecha, Raglecha Karinan. The Kri, the pronunciation is Raglecha, even though we have a Mesorah of writing it without a Yud, but the pronunciation is with a Yud, and so therefore it's plural. And so that means that the only way you cannot go back in is only if both of your legs are outside of Tchum. Now in the Brisa it says, Lo Yikanes, you're not allowed to go back in, so that Brisa is going like Acherim, which says that where you follow the majority. Now if the majority of your body is outside of Tchum, so then that one leg that's in Tchum is going to be status-wise shifted to the majority of your body that's outside of Tchum. Rebbe Lazar, Mishnah, Yikanes, Shalosh, Lo Yikanes. Shita's Rebbe Lazar is that 2, you can go back in. More than 2, 3, you can't go back in. V'atanya Rebbe Lazar, Omer, Achas, Yikanes, Shalim, Lo Yikanes. Now the Gemara says, I am confused because we have a Brisa. The Brisa puts the line at 1 versus 2. 1, you can go back in. 2, you cannot go back in. So lokashya hada akar chada vikam atarte v'hada akar tarte vikam atlas. So the Gemara says, no, it's just a question of how to read the Brisa. One Brisa, is talking about where you left one and you're still within two, you can go back. And the other Brisa is talking about where you're within two, you can go back. Once you exceed two, meaning you're in three, you can't go back. Okay. Hadakar chad v'kam atarte, hadakar tarte v'kam atlas. V'atanya Rebbe Lazar omer afilu ama achas lo yikanes. So the Gemara quotes another brisa where Rebbe Lazar says that even if you're going out one ama, you can't go back in. So kitanya hi limodein. The Gemara says no. That's talking about a specific scenario, and that's the measure. Ditanya, sorry, did not with the Mishnah. Ulimodein shamru nosin lo apay mama afilu sof midaso kala b'ma'ara. That when it comes to the measure, so he's measuring. In other words, he lost track of tchum, so he's measuring. So for him, if that tchum ends in a cave, that's where his tchum is going to end, and he's not afforded not even one amma past that point in time. Okay, specific case over there. And finally, to finish off our daf and our perek, somebody who was cut short. Even one amma outside of tchum, he can't go back in. He's not allowed to be re-invited into his tchum. In other words, he's traveling and he didn't forward his heir of tchum like we've been describing in the past previous mishnayos. So under those circumstances, says the Mishnah, if he was stopped short one amma outside, so lo yikanes, he cannot go back in. Again, by the way, this goes in line with the Tanakhama of the previous Mishnah, which again is difficult because we know that when you're not afforded your original tchum, you're given dal amos. Presumably, those dal amos should allow you entrance to go back into your original tchum. Okay, but anyway, but at least the Tanakama of our Mishnah is consistent with the Tanakama of the previous Mishnah. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu chameshas amos ikanes, she'ein ha-meshuchos mematzen es amidos mimnei atoin. And Rabbi Shimon says, you know what? There's a margin of error. Meaning, if you're within one amma of your tchum, the truth of the matter is that you're within your tchum. In fact, you could be up to 15 ammas outside of your tchum, and you're really within tchum. And the reason why is because when they measure tchum, so the truth of the matter is that there's no precision in the measuring of tchum. Now, I know that sounds funny, meaning we're finishing up a perek talking about linear measurement. One would think that precision is the game over here in terms of measuring tchum. But according to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, so there is going to be, already built into tchum, there's going to be a margin of error. A margin of error of 15 amas. The Gemara just very succinctly quotes a brayta satana mimnei toei hamida. The measures make a mistake. Okay, now, the way to understand the measures make a mistake is either one, number one, the error. In other words, it's just simple human error. And they always err on the side of caution. And that's why you're given a little bit of an extension, meaning if you find yourself just outside of tchum, well, you know that the measures make a mistake and built in is a little bit of error, there's room for error. And so therefore, you can assume safely that you're within tchum. Rashi goes on then to describe that the truth of the matter is 15 amas over here is very specific in terms of why that's specifically the margin of error. Because consider, says Rashi, what happens is that you're measuring with a 50 amma measuring stick or measuring string. And you're going to keep repeating that motion 50 times 40, 40 times. And so that's how you're going to get to 2,000 ammas. Now, the measurers, what are they going to do with the rope? So they're going to hold the rope. Now, they're holding the rope with their hands. And so that means to say that if they held their hands horizontally, meaning the rope in their hands was held horizontally, that's great. But if the ropes were held not horizontally, but rather vertically, so that's going to cut the ropes short on each end, meaning you have two people holding the rope on each end, and now they're holding the ropes where the end of the rope now is running perpendicular to the rest of the rope. And what you're doing now is you're shortening. How much are you shortening? So the answer is two tefachim for every measure. So two tefachim for every measure. It's 40 measures. Two tefachim for every measure. Good. Says Rashi, that's how you get to the 15 amas of margin of error. So that means to say that the measurers measured were short 15 amas. Now, it sounds like, it's funny, the Gemara makes it sound like it's a mistake. The way we just described it doesn't sound like a mistake. It sounds like it's deliberate. And perhaps it provides a certain level of cushion so that when somebody steps outside of Tchum, so he's not stuck. In other words, he's got an additional 15 amas beyond that. Okay, anyway. That's the way Rashi describes it. All right. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the daf, end of the parak. Yes, Hashem, tomorrow we begin with the fifth parak of Erevin, an unbelievable opportunity to recap our daf. We start off our daf by going over reviewing Machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in terms of making an Erev with your legs versus making Erev with bread. And the Gemara gave a full endorsement to Rav Nachman's understanding of the Machlokes, which is that they're debating a scenario of mikomi, when you're making an Erev underneath where you are. So is that just for the Ani? Is that for the Ashir? And it's a fundamental machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Nachman, in terms of Iker Erev Bepas or Iker Erev Beregel. Rav Meir says Pas, and Rav Yehuda says Regel. And according to Rav Yehuda, why then make an Erev with food? And the answer is, it's because it's a convenience for a wealthy person. But in other words, but the Iker Erev is to be done with your legs. Good. That is Shitas Rav Yehuda, as understood by Rav Nachman. The traveler who is going to be able to make Erevs with his legs without using food, and on top of that also afforded that other leniency, that other dispensation, where he can forward his Makom Shvisa to an upcoming location. So both, according to Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, that's only for the poor person. However, as we were clear this morning, the poor person is equivalent to a traveler. A traveler is also viewed as a poor person. Within that discussion, the Gemara accepted Rav Nachman's understanding of the Machlokes Rav Meir Rav Yehuda, and specifically Rav Yehuda Shita is the accepted position as understood by Rav Nachman. That was the Amoraim that took us to the beginning of today's daf. Continuing in the daf, we went through the case where a person started his journey in order to go to his other home, which is under 4,000 amas away, in order to get there. So he's going to be facilitating a makom shisa that's in the middle, and a discussion in the Mishnah in terms of he started his travel, and then he was spun around. Somebody stopped him on Erev Shabbos as he was headed out, and got him to stay home for that, stay in the original town for that night. And then a discussion in terms of whether or not the next morning he can go. Rav Yehuda says he can. Rav Meir says he cannot. And as we learned in the Gemara, Rav Huna's understanding of the case is that he has two homes, one here, one in the other town. And the Makom Mesuyim in the middle, the established specific area in the middle, is going to be his Makom Shisa because he's a traveler. So therefore he can forward his Makom Shisa to that place. And that is the understanding of the Mishnah. Subsequent to that, we saw a Brisa. Brisa brought in the Shita Rav Yehuda and also the Shita Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, who is more makel. And as we learned in the amongst the Amorayim, in terms of understanding this machlokas, Rav Yehuda, in order to be given the status of the traveler, it requires two things. One, you have to be machzik bederech. Two, you have to articulate tehei makom shisasi b'makom ploni. And Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says, no, you don't need both. You only need one of the two. Which one do you need? That's the machlokes between Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Rabbi says you need articulation. Rav Yosef says you need to begin your travel. And then a subsequent discussion in the Gemara regarding which of these two positions we end up following. The Gemara notes that Rav Meir, in the cases of Suffolk Eruv, is going to be Machmir, like we saw earlier in the Masechta back on Daf Lamed Hey. The Gemara says, yeah, but this case over here is necessary for Rav Meir because this could have been viewed even worse than a Suffolk. He didn't even put an Eruv out. He's making an Eruv through a halachic mechanism of being a traveler and saying to him, Makom Shisasi b'Makom Ploni, but then he got spun around. One would consider that this is not even a case of Suffolk. The Gemara brought in a scenario the next Mishnah brought in a scenario in which you went beyond your Tchum. At what point in time now are you totally disconnected from your original Tchum, not being able to go back in? According to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, just one Amma out, and already you are banned and barred from your original Tchum. Rebbe Lazar says you have to be more than two Ammas out, as per the Shita of Rebbe Lazar, that once you're outside of Tchum, you're given four Ammas, you're in the center of those four Ammas, so if you're within two Ammas of your original Tchum, you can just simply walk back into your Tchum. The Gemara discussed the Shita of Rebbe Chanina, which is even one leg out may disqualify you from being within Tchum, and a discussion in the Gemara as to whether or not this is what exactly was the Shita of Rabbi Chanina, and it's based on a possible drasha of the Navi Yishayahu. The Gemara had a couple of brisas that gave us different views of Rebbe Lazar, but the Gemara was miyashi of all those brisas. And finally, the last thing we discussed here in this fourth parak of Erevin is that if you are headed home and you find yourself one amma shy of your tchum, so according to the Tanakhama, you're stuck, consistent with the earlier Mishnah. And Shitas Rabbi Shimon is no. You're actually within your Tchum. Because when they measure Tchum, there's a margin of error of 15 Amas, approximately 15 Amas. Or according to the second Pshat and Rashi, exactly 15 Amas. And so therefore, if you find yourself within one Am of Tchum, so you don't find yourself outside of Tchum. You actually are within Tchum. It just happens to be that you're within the margin of error. Adkan.